In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be persevered through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is, whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. A second reading from James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. So if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Now the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called to the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Does anybody here love to cook? I love to cook. I have several small colanders, you know, the little things that you drain, you put your food in and you drain. I buy them for color. You know, I like all the different colors that they come in. And so I just love having little gadgets and things like that to cook. But when you use the colander, you take the peas or whatever it is from whatever you're using and you pour them through there and you wash it so that the water can kind of baptize the food, right? Can really cleanse the food. All the little imperfections are taken out. Then I can cook it, or I can eat it plain, or I can serve it to people with great hospitality, knowing that it has been purified. Thinking about that reminded me of today's scripture when I was cooking this week. Of my colanders, because we're listening in on a conversation about the purity of eating and hand washing. Jesus makes a statement that totally shocks the Pharisees and the scribes. I mean, literally stuns them almost into silence. Nothing is to put into the mouth defiles. It is what comes out of the mouth which defiles. The Pharisees could not believe this. Their ears were hearing a Jew, a follower of the rules, a teacher, observer of the law, was once again breaking protocol. he and his disciples are required by tradition to wash their hands before eating. The angst of the Pharisees opened the way for Jesus to make his point very clear. It is not the things outside of us that make us unclean. I mean, our profession, we could be professional garbage collectors, touching all kinds of crud and defiling things. But it is the things on the inside, when they come out spewing, when they come out with malice, manipulative intentions, skunking around, spraying others, influencing them. Those are the things that make one unclean. That garbage collector may be very saintly, may be very practiced in their faith and living out loud kindness, peace, and gentleness of Christ-like spirit. But Jesus is talking about when he says that it's the things on the inside of us, you know, it's that resentment, that righteous anger, because by golly, they should have never crossed me this way. I have every right in the world to be angry and to hold on to a grudge. That, whether it's an explosive anger that just pops off and wham, cuts another person down to size, or if it sees and we think we're controlling our temper, but really, we're not all that kind. Or maybe fear can paralyze us, or we manipulate others just so that we get them to do what we want. You know, it really would be best for you if you did it my way. I, after all, have the greatest wisdom, right? Our selfish motivations, our defensiveness when someone comes at us and suggests yet another way might be a little bit more sufficient, and dare say if anybody dares to come after our church traditions, wonder if we would respond as the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is making a point that is on what is on the inside of us, which makes us, have you heard the phrase, stinking thinking? It's what's on the inside of us that makes us skunk around with our stinking thinking. Jesus insists that we must be transformed on the insides of our being so that we live in everyday interaction, engagement with others on the outside in a way that empowers and lifts the others up. This is a practice thing that we must do. You know, it's almost as if every single day we live and wake up with a sign that we hold in the front of us. The sign has some letters on it. I-A-C-L-P. And as soon as someone says something that does not sound gentle and kind, it's like that sign rips a little bit. And then another might say, did you clean up your room before you came down to breakfast? And that sign rips a little bit more. Or somebody may say, how dare you do that in church? That's not acceptable to us. And our sign rips completely in half. I am a capable and loving person. The words of others can hurt and they can heal. They can disempower and empower. Our words can hurt and can heal. You know, we can say, Mark, right, that's it, right? I really love you. Do you believe it? Anybody believe it? I don't even know this guy. I know his name. You know, or we can be more sincere, right? The way that we speak our words, the tone, the empathy, the compassion, all of that comes through as we may say, I love you. Truly, there's a difference. James calls us for certain. He says, be slow, intentional, to listen, eager to listen, slow to anger, slow to speak. How we speak to one another, how we desire to inspire and draw out the best God self of the other is oh so very important. It takes intention. It takes practice. It takes consistent desire to live our faith every day out loud. Through the ordinary, the mundane, the routine, habitual things of life, we may think we're looking at the same old people across our breakfast table. Yeah, we love them. But do we try to always invest in them to bring the best out of them? Jesus wants us to hear that it is so imperative to practice these disciplines of faith for prayer, because it's like that colander I was telling you about from my kitchen. It's like we have this faith-forming sieve that we take all of our anger, all of our hurt, all of our feelings, all of our logic, and we put it through this sieve or this colander to gentle the ways that we speak to others, that we live our faith out loud through everyday action. As you know, I teach at the seminaries, and I have permission to share one of the stories of one of the students from my most recent summer semester class. And I think I've named for you that they have to practice prayer disciplines, and this one student was fasting for his discipline on Tuesdays each week all semester, and this particular Tuesday was a difficult day for him, evidently, and he'd been out driving around for several hours just trying to get his spirit in a place right with God. And then all of a sudden, it was as if he was almost being literally clobbered over the head. It was 7:30 in the evening, and it was like all of a sudden this thought was saying, pull over, go into Bob Evans right now. You need to eat right now. And he looked at the clock and he realized, well, it is beyond the end of my fast time at 6:30, so I'll go in and I'll eat. So he went in, and it wasn't crowded, and he sat down, and The waitress came over to take his order, and he has learned by this point in the semester of fasting, if you fast for 6 or so hours, you need to break your fast with something very light so as to not to make you feel sick. And so he ordered breakfast. He ordered 2 eggs sunny side up. And the waitress went away, and he did whatever he did at his table, got ready for his meal. And when the waitress brought it back, her first words were, "I am so sorry. One of the eggs has a slight tear in it. Would you like me to take it back?" And she was sincere. Oh, so sincere. And he sat there for a long time, he says, that he was thinking through his heart, and he was wondering, this is a perfectly good breakfast. Why would anyone ever send it back? I wonder if she has to deal with customers that would send this back. And then he realized, oh my gosh, he was paused a really long time thinking with his heart, right? And he was trying to figure this out, and he said, "Oh no, no, no. I'm sorry for the long pause. I wasn't contemplating whether to send this back or not. But as I was wondering, I heard this sure and uncertain voice." You know how we don't hear the voice and yet we know the voice in our head, and it said, "But look in her eyes." And he did, and he looked up, and he looked in her eyes. And he said, "And so I was thinking in this pause, I was wondering, do people honestly send back a perfectly good breakfast for this little teeny trickle of yolk?" And he could hear the sincerity in her voice. She was truly a professional waitress, and she truly cared about all of her customers. And she says, "Oh, sir, I feel so bad for some of the customers sometimes. They get so irate with this kind of presentation of food. And right in front of their children, they will yell at me and get very, very irate, insisting that all of their meals be returned so they can all come out warm again at the same time with perfection." And she felt so bad, she said, for the children that would hear adults that would speak to her with such tone. She wasn't complaining about the way they were speaking to her, but with conveying her compassion for her customers. And he says, "You know, I see you. I see you're a good person. You're truly a professional in care about the people that you serve. But not only I that sees you, but God sees you as a good person." And she just was taken aback. And she said, "Sir, that is just what I needed to hear this day, to be reminded again that I am worthy in God's eyes." And she went on to say even more and more about this. I mean, for quite a while, no one else was in the restaurant needing her services. And she went on and professed how deeply that touched her spirit. And then she realized what she was doing. She said, oh, please, please do get back to your meal. Don't let me interrupt it." And she walked away, and he realized he needed to start his meal. The everyday acts, even how we interact with a waitress or a waiter, let alone those whom we know, whom we love, whom we know in our minds that the presence of God is in, but sometimes our demeanor fails us, or our temperament, or gosh darn it, we've just had a really hard day. we just want those closest to us. We have a choice. We are always given a choice to love first. And the only way to do that is to put all of our day, to put all of our stuff constantly throughout the day into this faith formation sieve. So it comes out with a gentler presentation of ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't get any less angry about injustices, but it does mean we may not explode them all over everyone else. James tells us to be implanted with the Word of God. Let it soak into our hearts so deeply that it becomes our only way of response to another, that our faith gentles all actions, attitudes, and words. So how do we do that? May I suggest one prayer practice to you called Daily Examine, so that when you get done with your day or morning or when you're driving home from work and you're having to know you're getting late with your family, practice being an archaeologist on your day. First, thank God, because we know God was in every single thing, even in that cranky meeting or the conversation that was contentious. And then be intentional to kind of, as an archaeologist, takes that little broom and brushes some of the crud away. Take that time and brush it away and intentionally wonder, I know God was here. When did I notice God? When was I consciously aware of God throughout the mundane, routine things of my day? And then ask the next question. When did I not notice? When was I not consciously aware of God's presence today? And conclude your prayer by saying, please, God, help me to be more consciously aware of you tomorrow. May it be so. May God anoint our desires to live justice, to walk humbly with God. And may mercy be the anchor of our soul, so that we become even gentler in our out loud living and presentation to the world. Amen.
Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation. David fought Goliath. And the psalmist cried out for healing, and full of compassion, you granted your people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted your people life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Remembering his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit upon this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, O most majestic, O God, most motherly, O God, our strength and our song, you show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father and the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for it is now ready.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need, to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John's is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, and sent into community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.